a great vision this is. Look at you. This is incredible. You know what? I got to be a millennial here. Just get it. I just got to capture this real fast here. Look at you guys. Look at you guys. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's going to be a terrible picture, but amen. You know what? It's all good. It's all good. Well, I'm grateful to be here, to be preaching. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to speak. Really, who am I? Really, I mean, who am I? I was born and raised a country boy from Kentucky, the OBKY, as I like to call it. But I was born and raised spiritually right here in this church. And that's Northern Virginia and Potomac Valley together. You know, I remember, and Aisha and I were a dating couple. We interned, and we would drive from Fairfax to Fredericksburg to help out as we served in the teens, the South teens, so to speak there. But that was a great time. The connections, you know, Aisha was living in Dina Gorell's basement. Seth was just a little boy. He's a man now. And we got to learn from incredible families, you know, like the Hines family, the Fecundises, really just how to be a team leader, you know. So there's lots of different connections. And today was going to be a great opportunity because I was going to be followed up by Logan Kreider, who obviously has his roots as well in Northern Virginia and Potomac Valley. But he, the flu got him. But I want to give a shout out to you Facebook people live. There you go. Welcome. Hope you guys are enjoying your service from your safe confines of your home. Although it'll be a little less inspiring for all of us, Logan being home is probably a better thing for all of us, but I don't know. Amen. Well, our theme for the service and for the lesson here, it's forward together. And myself, Marcus, and Stephen, we're gonna bring to you the message, and we really only have two points. Forward and together. There you go. Just keeping it simple here, you know. But it was Henry Ford who founded Ford Motor Company, said, if everyone is moving forward together, then success takes care of itself. You know, there's great power. There's great power, there's great inspiration, there's great endurance when a group of people is moving, or when a group is moving together in the same direction and in unison. Let's see a little clip of what this could look like here. Can't hear it, but they're saying, we have to swim down. Keep swimming. Tell everyone to swim down. Swim down. Swim down. Swim down. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. They're actually saying keep swimming. So say keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. They're losing the battle. More and more people need to keep swimming now. Swim down. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. Keep swimming. It's really better with the fish voices. Keep swimming. Keep watching. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Yes, 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 yes. It's awesome. So the simple direction was to keep swimming. Keep swimming. Even though they didn't know whether it would work or not, keep swimming. Even though they didn't totally understand what all was going on, keep swimming. Even though those around them hadn't caught on yet, the direction was to keep swimming. And as they kept swimming, their strength grew more and more as individuals just kept swimming. You know, our direction is simple as well. Just before Jesus ascended up to heaven, he left his disciples with clear direction. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That's a clear direction, isn't it? This is what it looks like to move forward. Go and make disciples of all nations. That is the direction. And then in Acts 1, verse 8, he echoes the same thing by saying, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To all nations. You know, the direction is clear. It's forward. The first century disciples, they went to the ends of their earth. They went to the ends of their earth. You know, in our movement, it's been pretty inspiring. The ICOC, which started off with just a handful of folks and people kind of scattered around a little bit everywhere. But not unlike our first century Christians, they also went out to the ends of, and we have gone out to the ends of the earth. And now, our church, our group of churches here, are now 661 different churches in 144 different nations. Really incredible. And a lot of you guys and a lot of you people that are out here and families have spent time on the mission field planning these churches, serving these churches, and encouraging these churches. A lot of you right here. But there are two places that the first century disciples couldn't go. Northern Virginia and Potomac Valley. That's one place, two places they couldn't go. That mission was reserved for us, for you and for me. We are to be Jesus' witnesses from Washington to Winchester. Come on. From King George to Culpeper. And this is an area that I love, an area of Northern Virginia as a whole that has a population of over 2 million people. Over 2 million people. That population, I looked this up because everything's right on the internet. I looked this up, and just our population in this area of 2 million people is more than over 80 countries in the world. So our hearts that want to go on the mission field, guess what? You're already there. You're already there. But we also have the diversity to impact over 200 countries right here in our backyard, literally. This is where we are. So my conviction here, or what I believe that's what's going to help us be able to move forward, is we have to address what's going to keep us from moving forward as both of us as churches here. And I believe that when we make decisions out of convenience rather than conviction, that keeps us from moving forward. If you would, turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 4. Let's read an example of this. There we go. Acts chapter 4. That's John 4. There we go. Turn in your Bibles over there. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to start reading here in verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. But with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought back the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Now, there's a lot in this story here. But suffice it to say that starting off, Barnabas, that brother had conviction. That brother had conviction. And he acted out of that conviction. But Ananias and Sapphira, they acted out of convenience. They wanted the perception of spirituality, but in their hearts, the decision that they made was really a personal convenience. I don't know who has an extra house to sell just to do that, just to say, hey, I'm putting money down. But that was their heart here. It was out of convenience. You know, there's a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons why people move to this area and move around this area. Cheaper housing, better schools, better commute, better job, better quality of life. And all of these are valid reasons. But in and of themselves, those don't sound like convictions. Convictions. Was Barnabas focused on potential property value as he sold his house so that those in the kingdom of God could have their needs met? Was he thinking about property value? No, he had conviction about taking care of God's people. And what about the others that took the gospel? There were many who took the gospel to the Jews in Acts 11. But do you think those who went to the Greeks in Antioch were thinking about the problems that introducing diversity into the church would cause? Were they thinking about that? Or were they thinking, we got to take the message to all nations? Regardless of who they were. They weren't worried about cultural diversity. They're worried about the gospel. And do you think Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice worried about little Timmy getting into the right schools so he could have the right education? Is that what they were focused on? More so than passing down the gospel and their faith. That's what their focus was. These people make decisions based on conviction. And they so happen to be inconvenient to themselves. But why did they do it? So that the kingdom would move forward. Amen? You know, we've been, every move that my wife and I have made and our family has made has been in some way for the kingdom. When we bought our first place in Fairfax, we were leading the campus ministry at that time at George Mason University. There you go. But we bought a place in Fairfax because we wanted to be accessible to the students. We wanted to be as close to campus as possible. So we made that move. There were other places we could have bought. Our friends were on other places. We could have bought around them. But we were thinking about the campus ministry. We were thinking about the kingdom. You know, when we went into Regions as a Northern Virginia church, we decided to move down to Woodbridge specifically to encourage a part of the church that had been long discouraged. That was our reasoning behind that. It was a kingdom move. And then last May, when we bought our place in Alexandria, we wanted to be closer to the city and close to the mix and more central to the region. And once again, it was a kingdom move. And many of you have made kingdom moves as well, and you are inspiring. And God is using you. But, you know, when we moved to Woodbridge, it was a little bit discouraging. Personally, because when we moved down, and I think this was just a little bit circumstances, but when we moved down, we had 8 couples leave our house church within the first year of us moving down. And as a young, you know, evangelist at that point, I'm like, is it me? Because you didn't move before, and there's only one common factor, and it's us. We're the only thing that changed. But, you know, we heard a lot of different reasons and tons of valid reasons. And, you know, there's a whole story behind all of them. But one particular reason really stood out. One particular reason really stood out. This great couple said, you know, we want a church right here. We want a church right here where we live. Right here in Woodbridge. In other words, we want to keep sharing where we live. Now, that is inspiring. They made a decision to stay out of conviction. Now, don't get it twisted. It was a little convenient, obviously, but it was out of conviction to build the kingdom so that the kingdom can move forward. And this is what we should be saying to one another as I wrap up here. We should be saying to each other, just keep sharing. Even though you don't know if it'll work, just keep sharing. even if you don't totally understand, just keep sharing. Even if others around you haven't caught on yet, just keep sharing. And this is how we move forward, as we as individuals and we as a collective just keep sharing. Amen? Amen. Now I'll turn it over to Marcus.
Good morning, church. How are we doing? Man, so this has been amazing for me so far. I've been able to worship along our two ministries. Our two worship ministries together have been having a party this weekend, worshiping God. It has been amazing, and it's amazing for us to be here together. For you guys, I don't know personally. I've been here a year, so I know Pova people. For everybody else who I don't know personally, my wife Alexi and I just moved here just over a year ago to lead the youth and family ministry at the Potomac Valley Church. And it has been amazing. We love the teens. We love teen ministry. My wife and I met at the University of Florida. Go Gators. There we go. Where coincidentally, Roxanne and Stephen Little, we spent a good amount of time with them in that ministry at that time. So there's a connect right there. And it has just been so cool being so close again. I grew up in this family of churches. Did not grow up in the Virginia area. About 29 years ago, my parents were invited to the Columbia Church of Christ in South Carolina by Miss Sandy Jacoby. And my dad is currently an elder in that church. This is a church that coincidentally was started by our is helped establish by Randy. And so there's actually a really cool connect there. You know, this is what's interesting. Part of his work in establishing that church involved fighting to make sure that that congregation would truly be a church of all nations, right? A church of all races, where a family like mine in the Deep South, mind you, would later arrive and be amazed at the fellowship between the people of different races that was possible in that church. As a six-year-old, I remember our first day there because I was surprised. And that was amazing. It is safe to say that brother, your courage, conviction, dedication to the mission laid the foundation for my family and many others to be saved there, bro. So I just want to, can we give him a round of applause? 40 years of service. I'm very appreciative to you for what you've been doing. So we're here now, and we have found amazing family in the Potomac Valley Church. We have been amazed at the sense of just cooperation and unity that exists within our family of churches here, this ACR region. It has been amazing. Though I have been here a year, and I'm starting to like know the streets pretty well, and I can get here. I'm still on that GPS. I ain't gonna lie. But though we have been a year, I do at times feel very much like the new kid still. A new kid on the block in this area. I think I notice it most when I'm leading songs, actually. All right? You would be surprised how many little changes exist in our ICOC bank of songs that your church does. That your church claps like this on that part and does this, woo, and I don't do that. Right? And it's hard to look cool as a song leader when everybody else does this thing, and you're like, oh, okay. So that's when I feel the most new. But I'm learning, and my answer to that is I just bring in new songs and be like, ha-ha, learn this. So it works. Now, one of the pros to being new anywhere, it often affords you a fresh view of a situation. And so today, what I would like to do is share my new kid view of the relationship between the Potomac Valley Church and the Northern Virginia Church. Amen? Now, what I say, I'm new. I could be wrong. So if I'm wrong, just I'm new, okay? give me a break. But I'm going to tell you what I see. I see two congregations. I learned at one time they were one congregation. Same family of churches, same mission, reaching out at times to the same neighborhoods, trying to determine if our relationship with regard to our proximity is going to be more of an obstacle or an opportunity. And that's what I really want to talk about today. Obstacle or opportunity. Let's just talk really plain about who we are in the room today. All right? We're just people. Amen? Will Archer likes to remind the church about every Sunday that we're all just regular, messed up group of people. And we are very aware of that. Here's some things about people, though. People are naturally territorial. This is my space. This is my fam. This is mine. What you got over there? People usually worry about what other people are thinking, good or bad. Do they like me? Do they accept me? Do they really have the best intentions for me? With people, close proximity can and often does mean more conflict. And as Aaron said earlier, people often settle for convenience. And we are a church of people. All of these potential obstacles exist within our church. And they can, and let's say have, played themselves out at times between the congregations. Here's the good news. The good news is those things are not true of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a baptized disciple of Christ today, you have got that Holy Spirit living inside of you right now. And one of the Holy Spirit's specialties is taking relationships and situations that we see as obstacles and revealing them to us as they really are, opportunities. Now, you've already seen this in your own life. God took you, a messed up person, a broken vessel, a lost sinner, a walking bad situation, and saved you. And then revealed you for what you really are, a soul-saving royal priesthood, a child of God. That is what we are this morning, and that's what the Holy Spirit did. And isn't it amazing that those things about ourselves that we considered obstacles or flaws, the Holy Spirit then repurposes those very things as opportunities for God to be glorified. Your past life of sin. You say, God, do you know who I was? Do you know what I did? And he goes, I know, right? Ma'am, your changed life is gonna shine. Teens, you go, look, I'm the only one in my school. I'm alone over here. Maybe there's only one or two. I don't see anybody. I'm the only one. And God says, I know, right? I have given you a whole campus to save. You are God's man or woman on that campus, and it is a huge opportunity. We also see this throughout the Bible. I'm going to paraphrase just for time. In Acts 8, the church is persecuted and scattered. You want to talk about an obstacle? Talk about proximity now being an issue, different from being close, but now they're far away. There's a good chance they didn't even know where their brother or sister was. Imagine if the first century church decided to focus on the obstacles instead of what they did, which was as the disciples were scattered, they recognized the opportunity that existed for the gospel to be shared. And so they preached wherever they went. And therefore, the church did go to the whole known world. Amen? Church, do you see this? Do you see it here? This possibly confusing, kind of funky dynamic that could exist and at times does exist because of our history and our proximity and the fact that there's this sibling. We are literally siblings. We're all the same family, but we were twins, okay? And sometimes there's a little bit of issue between siblings. But do you see, by the power of the Holy Spirit, this can be an amazing opportunity. Here's some facts. We are churches in need. Luke 10, verse 2 says, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The Potomac Valley Church, the Northern Virginia Church, are both in need because there is more harvest, especially in this part of the country, than we have people to bring it in. And one of the main helps that God has given us is each other. Do you see it, though? See, practically, think about this. As we plan, as we reach out, as we organize large events within our two churches, as we worship, there is this opportunity right here to make these large-scale impacts. But do we take advantage of those? That is just one practical, several ways that we can work together to make a big impact. We do not have time to be territorial and not trusting and not willing to move where the Spirit moves. There are too many lost souls here. In a year's time, I am flat out blown away by the number of people that are in this region. We have got to work together to save this area. I'll close with this. When my wife and I moved here a year ago to lead the teams, one of the biggest opportunities we saw was the proximity to the Northern Virginia Church. Because we realized that our old friends from the University of Florida, Roxanne and Stephen, happened to be leading the teen ministry in this church. Although, for the record, we did not know it, because Will said Potomac Valley. I tried to find it on a map. It don't exist. So Stephen had to tell me, y'all are right down the road. I was like, oh, snap. So, yeah, I was really excited. Guys, we have relied on their friendship and their ministry experience so much over this year. The fact that we are in each other's backyard has made us a stronger, better teen ministry. I believe the same for our congregations. Our proximity, if we choose to see it this way, is a huge opportunity. We have been entrusted with a great harvest. I believe that we will bring it in if we choose to work through any obstacles and focus on the opportunities. Thank you, church.
Wow, what a great service. I got to just say, I'm blown away by the worship today. It was so good. I really felt like we didn't even have to speak. But amen. Thank you for the opportunity. It's great to talk to you. My name is Stephen Little, and my wife is right here, Roxanne, and we get to lead the Youth and Family Ministry along with the Fisks and Melissa. Pova knows Melissa because she was with them. So it's just great. It's great. It's great reminders. Thank you, Aaron, for starting it out. Just realizing that we need to go forward. There is a lot of work to be done, and then Marcus started us out, how we're going to do this together. And that's where we are. We're on point two, which is being together, and it's good to be reminded that there are obstacles, even though we see those often. But those obstacles are put in our path for a reason. And there is an enemy out there who wants us to focus and to stumble on those obstacles. And we also have a God who wants to use these obstacles to make us greater. You know, moving forward together is not always easy. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Because I think differently than the way you think. And that's okay. And that's fine. And that's good. We all have different cultures, different upbringings. But the call is the same for all of us. And we're going to read that here in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Amen, Paul. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul is reminding us here that we are one. That we are one. We ought to live like that. This is a very challenging scripture for me. I'm a competitive person. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but I like being number one. It feels good. I like working hard. I like out-hustling people. And being number one is glorious, but only for a moment. Only for a moment. And where the true glory and honor comes is with humility. Because it no longer is about us, it's about God. And God is eternal. But it is a difficult thing to do that. And so the hard work and the hustle really should be about being humble and staying unified. And really, if any of us have ever been unified with people, we know that that takes more work than being separate. Being separate is easy because, like, you know what? You do your thing, I'm going to do my thing. God bless you. But being unified takes work. It takes effort. It takes prayer. You know, Marcus and Alexia are a great example of this. And Marcus shared a little bit, but I'm going to boast for him, okay? They moved up here, and they've just been open. And asking questions like, what do we do? What do we think? How do we work? Where do we go? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm going to point you to other people who do. And it's just, they've been a great example of that. And, you know, teen camp, we all love teen camp, right? Yeah. You know, they came into teen camp. You know, Marcus has been going to teen camps for a long time, but Alexia hasn't. But they came in there to a new teen camp, and they just got folded right in. And they were like, all right, Marcus, you don't know what this is, but this is your responsibility. And he ran with it and really became part of the team and part of the family because they were just humble. And they asked a lot of questions and they really wanted to do it. You know, it's great to be in the ACR. We have such humble and a unified team here in the ACR. I'm so grateful for it. It brings life to my soul because I came from another region that didn't have that. And it was hard. But moving here, and I want to remind you that we have brothers and sisters all around the world. And going overseas and spending time with them is so refreshing because they are so humble. They just want to learn and do whatever we're doing. And literally, when I went out to Kiev, it blew my mind because they were like, talking to some brothers and sisters about the way that they've done youth and family, like, we've been doing it for 8 years. Is there anything else we need to do? I'm like, what? 8 years? They're like, tell us what to do and we'll do it. They are so humble and they just want to learn from us. But the truth is, we have more to learn from them. That is the truth. And if you've ever gone, and I encourage you to go and visit these other brothers and sisters in other countries and realize how much love and faith and humility that they have. It will help you a lot. Amen. You know, it's an amazing thing that we are a worldwide fellowship. But what about us? What about us, Nova? What about you guys, Pova? How do we live this scripture out? I got two very simple things that we can do. Marcus started us out, but number one is work together. Just work together. You know, we overlap. We're in similar workplaces. We're probably on the train together or whatever. Work together. If you're talking to someone, you're like, oh, you live here? I'm going to hook you up with someone. I got a friend there. Look at this room. There are so many connections in this room. So let's use those to change people's lives. I mean, think about where your family would be if you were not in the kingdom of God. It terrifies me. Well, I would never be married in the first place. But if I was, my family would be nothing like it is if I was not in the kingdom. So let's change people's lives. We've got to talk to people. We've got to do that. You know, the Bible, when I read the Bible, I read stories of groups smaller than what is in this room, and they changed history. They changed history. Imagine what we can do in this room if we work together. If we just say, all right, I am just going to be a servant of God, and no matter who it is, I'm going to talk to, and we're going to get them connected. Imagine what can happen by this time next year. It blows my mind. You know, public transportation and the gym are probably the two most uncomfortable places where I reach out to people. And the reason for that is because everybody has their headphones in, and they're just kind of looking it down at the ground. And you're like, hey, what's up? You know, it's like, what's going on? I see that you're wearing clothes as well. That's awesome. You know, you don't even know where to start the conversation, but it's okay. Break the awkward ice and just talk to someone. It's okay to be the person that everybody knows, like, oh man, this guy's going to talk. This is the guy that's on the train. He's going to talk to one of us. All right. I might as well just look at him so he can talk to me. That's okay. Break the awkward chain. But let's encourage one another to not be so prideful and not to protect ourselves, but to be humble and allow ourselves to be awkward. Amen. Number two is praying for one another. How we are to be together, how we are to be unified is praying for one another. I got a prayer for the Nova Church, that Pova, please pray for us. Pray that we have two adult conversions in each of our house churches. We have 22 house churches. Pray that our house churches this year have two adult conversions in each house church. Can you pray for us for that? And for Nova, I reached out to Will. I was like, Will, we want to pray for you. What can we pray for? They recently just finished up a 10-day fast, asking God that they will remove anything and everything that is getting in their way, and that they will be all in. And so is their prayer is very simple for us, Nova. Let's pray that Pova is all in. So let's pray for that. Imagine what would happen if we all pray for each other every day. It blows my mind what God would do if we all decided, we're just going to pray. I mean, look at the room, guys. There's hundreds of us. God will do incredible things. We are in it together when we are in prayer. It connects us together. It connects us with our brothers and sisters around the world. My mind runs wild to imagine what God would do. And so I put it before us. Let's pray for these things every single day. And when we talk to each other, how's it going? Are you all in? Are you reaching out to people? Have you had a conversion in your house church yet? Let's pray for that. It is powerful. It is difficult. But man, when we are humble and praying and relying on God, great things will happen. Humility is a game changer. It is how we stay together, and it is how we move forward. Point one was moving forward. And Aaron called us to make our decisions on convictions and not on convenience. And point two is together. Marcus called us to see opportunity rather than obstacles. And the way that we will do this is with great humility. Family, let's move forward together.